I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Eastern Tennessee in the Smoky Mountains. Come along and join me for a conversation with Marcy Claude, Public Relations Manager in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. It's the gateway to the Smoky Mountains National Park. Marcy and I will explore cool things to do and see in and around the town. We'll also stop in at the legendary Arrowmont School of Arts and Crafts, located in the heart of Gatlinburg for close to 100 years, for a visit with Arrowmont volunteer Nilsen Ziegler. Gatlinburg, synonymous with Tennessee. It really is.
It's just that iconic mountain destination at the foot of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. We are embedded in the memories of generations of families who have traveled here for their Smoky Mountain vacations.
First time in my life coming to Gatlinburg, and yet all my life, you say the name and you go, oh yeah, and you know, even though you haven't been to it. It's one of those places that for most of us, it's on our life list, our hit list of gotta go at some point, and I finally made it to find out.
It's just, we're a multi-generational family travel destination. We've got every kind of imaginable lodging from camping to luxury hotels because we are right here surrounded on three sides by the mountains. It's beautiful. It's scenic. You can visit the great outdoors in the park and experience that, but you don't have to be like this major outdoorsman to do that. There's motor tours and nature trails and opportunities to get out and just throw rocks in the river with your kids and maybe do a little bit of fishing. And then there's the high level activities of whitewater rafting and zip lining and stuff like that also available in this area if you're an outdoor enthusiast.
Just driving through town, I'm looking at it thinking how a kid would see it. It's a Disneyland of sorts. There are so many fun kid things to do. A grown-up might roll their eyes, but kids are going nuts, I know.
Well, what makes Gatlinburg unique is that we are a walking town, and so you can park your car and you can walk our parkway and you will find an amazing amount of attractions for every age. We've got shopping, specialty shopping, lots of eateries. We're known for our candy kitchens and caramel corn. You can't go wrong with that. And then all of the attractions, too, from our world-class Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies to Obergatlinburg Amusement Park and Ski Area. You know that Gatlinburg has the only ski resort in the state of Tennessee.
I was so shocked when I drove into town. I see these chairlifts that start right in town. I thought, well, maybe it's just a scenic ride or something. I didn't even realize. That's so cool.
Gatlinburg is home to the Gatlinburg Skylift, which was built in 1954.
Incredible.
Well, you know, in the early days of ski resorts coming in, I mean, the Obergatlinburg Ski Resort was built in 1962. Mm-hmm. So I think chairlifts kind of were a thing. My parents honeymooned here in 1959 and rode the Gatlinburg Skylift. And you will find that today that, you know, generations of families, they still bring their kids back. Parents and grandparents still come back and bring their kids to ride that Skylift.
Even Gatlinburg itself becomes as familiar, multi-generational, generation after generation destination then.
Exactly. You know, Obergatlinburg has a 120 passenger aerial tram that takes you up to the ski resort. And so just having that type of outdoor activity that you've been able to do with your family for all these years. We raised our kids snow skiing here. All of ours started at 3 years old on the slopes at Obergatlinburg.
Tell us about places to stay. You can tell even driving into town, there's affordable hotels and motels and really fancy ones.
So we do. We have a variety of lodging opportunities. Many hotels that you can literally park your car and not move it for the duration of your visit. From the Park Vista Hotel, which is that iconic round hotel up on the top of the mountain with those 360 degree views, to all of our major flag hotels, Hiltons and Courtyards and Marriotts and the Holiday Inns, to those mom and pop places that, you know, you've always gone to, and it's just like being at home, like in the Gatlinburg Inn. So we've got, you know, a variety of hotels within walking distance, cabins, and then, of course, bed and breakfasts if you want a little bit more pampering.
And the other thing that I did not realize, and I think it was you earlier saying, was the demographic reach.
We are a highly visited area here because of the Great Smoky Mountains. That's the draw. But we're also located within a day's drive of two-thirds of the U.S. population east of the Mississippi River.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So whether you're coming from Chicago or Miami, you're looking at a day's drive, and it's a major getaway. It's like going somewhere that you've never been before, and you certainly are enveloped in that wonderful mountain atmosphere.
And dramatically different than Ohio or Florida, yeah.
Right, exactly. The National Park posted record visitation numbers last year at 11.3 million visitors, and Gatlinburg certainly sees, we see our share of those visitors come through town.
That's incredible. So it is the most visited national park in America.
It is the only free national park in the United States, and it is the most visited national park by a long shot.
Well, why is it free?
There's a lot of good answers to that, and I could
never mind.
let's just not do that, because there's the popular answer, and then there's probably the real government answer. You want me to give you any of those answers?
Your favorite
not
answer.
No, right. At the formation of the park, the lore is that families were displaced from their land in the national park, and the children were so excited, the families were so excited that we were going to be able to preserve this area to be enjoyed and seen by the millions of visitors for the future, which we are seeing played out every day. And these folks that were displaced off their land asked that it always be a free place so that their families for future generations could visit.
That's about as good an answer as I could think of. All right, before we go, anything that you want to add that we didn't touch on?
We are a four-season destination with activities and special events all year long. I would also like to add that we have the Great Smoky Arts and Crafts community, which also makes us unique. It's an 8-mile loop of more than 100 working artists and crafters that are open all year long. It's the largest collection of working artists.
It's a true community. They live here.
Oh, yeah. They live here. They work here and make their living here. And you can ride out through that arts and crafts community and find one-of-a-kind gifts.
That's so cool. That's reason enough for a lot of us to come here.
Exactly. Well, and people do. People come, particularly in our shoulder seasons, which are October. The leaf peepers enjoy the arts and crafts. We have arts and crafts shows throughout the year. And then in the springtime, too.
What a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
For further information,
Gatlinburg.com.
Yeah. All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee.
Aeromont volunteer Nilsen Ziegler.
Nilsen Ziegler.
We're at Aeromont School of Arts and Crafts.
That has an incredible long history here. Tell us about how it started here and what its roots are.
Aeromont's roots actually started with the Pi Delta Phi sorority.
This is like 1900, early 1900?
Yeah, about 104 years ago, I believe. As a way of teaching the local people to sell their crafts. They did a lot of weaving, spinning, that kind of thing. And the Pi Phis wanted to teach them how to sell and make some money. It was during the Depression, so even before then.
They came to town and they set up school, or what?
Yeah,
did they
it was a school, and the school has been in existence for that long.
So here it is today, very much an art center, a magnet for people not only around the country, but overseas.
Yes, around the world. We have instructors from New Zealand and England and all over Germany.
So is there areas of specialization that people are magnetized here for versus another art school?
Well, here mostly, I think we're probably best known for clay and wood. The American Association of Woodturners started here after a symposium in 86. Something drove me to investigate wood turning 20 years ago, and I've been turning ever since.
Can't give it up.
No, don't want to.
So it really is addictive because of that fascination of watching in high speed creating your work of art.
And it's instant gratification. You create a 3D piece, and it's a finished piece.
Yeah. Theoretically, sometimes functional.
Sometimes, yeah.
And then there's also, tell us a little bit more about the school and what somebody would see here. You have a gallery and
we
archives.
We have six galleries that rotate shows throughout the year. The main gallery right now is being changed over to the summer instructor show, display and show. And all the instructors send wood pieces in. If they're going to teach, they send pieces in so we can display what they're often they'll take their classes through that and show what to expect from them.
Interesting. But there's more to this art center than just wood turning.
Wood, clay, as I said before, glass, metal, fiber, stitchery, as well as felting and that kind of thing.
If somebody wanted to learn that art and craft in any of the different genres, they could find out about it and sign up and come here for a session, a semester, or whatever?
Classes usually run a week. Some do 2 weeks, but mostly economically people stick with 1 week. You do stay here, so you're totally engrossed in the whole atmosphere of the school.
So it's a real literal campus.
It is.
And there's cafeteria or a place to eat.
Cafeteria, there's housing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we lost our main dormitory during the fires, but we still have plenty of space available. We've made arrangements with local hotels, so we're not going to be affected housing-wise.
And how does somebody find out more and learn more about Aramont?
At aramont.org, online. It's all there.
Nelson Ziegler, thank you for sharing. This has been, I'm so glad I
enjoyed it.
I'm glad you were here and I got to meet you.
Good. Great. Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee.
The Underbed Music was performed by 5 times Grammy Award-winning North Carolina-based musician David Holt.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansas Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR. Long.